أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم وهو أحسن القائلين وأصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: الذين يبلغون رسالات الله ولا يخشونه ويخشونه ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله وكفى بالله حسيبا. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. For the purification of the souls and the enlightenment of the hearts and for the hastening of the reappearance of بقية الله الأعظم، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. Enlighten your souls and the atmosphere with the recitation of salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Respected scholars, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They asked, how would you describe him? What is it that you will say about this individual? A person stood up and uttered, he was an awesome leader. The response was, indeed he was, but he was more. Another said, he was a great reformer. The answer that was received was, indeed, he characterized this, but there is more. A third individual rose and said, he was a fantastic theologian. He was a great philosopher, an amazing arif. Yet there was more. They looked at me and said, how would you describe him? What words can you put to describe this individual? I stood still, looked up to the sky, froze for a minute, then looked up and I said, to me, he is Ruhullah wa kafa. Recite salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. To me, he is Ruhullah, the spirit of Allah. And that is enough, because this name encompasses and encapsulates this great personality in history entirely. Why? There is absolutely no doubt about the importance and the significance of the position of the late leader of the Islamic revolution, Al-Imam al-Rahil, Ayatullah al-Uzma, al-Sayyid Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khumayni, a'lallahu maqamah wa qaddasallahu nafsahu al-Zakiyya, that today in the world of Islam, he occupies a prominent position. And this influence was not restricted to the borders of Iran. When he came after 14 years of exile, received by millions of people, and when he departed from this earth, and his funeral was attended by millions of individuals. One of them was a villager who was asked, why have you come here? He said, by Allah, I have never left my village the entire lifespan. I have never left it. Yet it was this personality that captured my heart, and I am here to mourn his passing away. Look around the world today, and in that time, and you see the influence of Imam al-Khomeini everywhere. In South Africa, people used to paint his pictures on the wall. And Nelson Mandela would say that his influence had extended to the great depth why some people came and said, in him we find profound inspiration and importantly hope. The apartheid regime came forward and said, let us have an agreement. Let us exchange oil in order for us to recognize you. Imam said, we do not make deals with racism. We do not stand with this type of relationship. You look at Iraq. The great scholar, Ayatullah al-Uzma, al-Sayyid al-Shaheed, Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, Ridwanullahi alayhi, what does he say? In his famous statements, he says, ذُوبُوا فِي الْإِمَامِ الْخُمَيْنِ. Dissolve yourself in the personality of Imam al-Khumayni, كَمَا ذَابَهُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Exactly how he annihilated himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the position that people viewed. Yet the question is asked, what makes individuals so great? What constitutes, or what is the most important, significant characteristic and attributes that ensures that the legacy of mankind remains, that human beings love an individual through their minds and through their hearts for generations, and his name is remembered? Why? What is it that makes him and many other individuals and personalities in history so special? Of course, we need to look at the life of the Holy Prophet and the A'imma, the Ma'sumeen, salawatullahi wa salamuhum alayhim ajma'een. When we look at their lives, we see that they had many accomplishments, many achievements. For example, the Holy Prophet of Islam was compassionate. He was sincere. He gave everything to the community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, what? وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. That your name has been raised for people to remember you. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, a warrior in the battlefield. In the night you find him crying and weeping due to the fear of Allah, a great ruler. Yet there are aspects within these individuals, their lives, that made them so influential, that made them so successful. What were they? What is it that is found in the Quran that is characterized by the personality of Rasulullah, the awliya, and individuals such as Imam al-Khumayni rahmatullahi alayh? You look at the Quran, Surah al-Muzzammil, chapter 73, verse number 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to who? He's talking to Rasulullah. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Allah says, glorify the name of your Lord. Exalt the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become a mutabattil. What is this tabattul? What is it? We have expressions in the Quran to talk about this important characteristic. We know that the Holy Lady, the mother of Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa alayhi afdalu salati wa salam, is known as Maryamul Batul. We know that Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, Fatimatu Zahra, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha, is referred to as As-Siddiqatul Batul. Al-Batul means an individual who excludes themselves spiritually and detaches themselves from everything except one thing. A mutabattil is an individual who has severed and cut off any relationship, any dependence, any link, any connection with the self and everybody else, and has a secure, completely firm connection and attachment to the sublime, absolute perfect being, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is al-inqita'u al-kamilu lillah. Al-tabattul is that when you look at yourself to be insignificant, when you think that Allah is 100%, and when you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before yourself and before everybody else, it becomes something of another type of relationship. Something that you and I may not be able to witness or appreciate. This tabattul was a characteristic of Imam al-Khumayni, rahmatullah.
الله عليه. And this is what gave him the courage, the strength, the resolve to stand against the whole world. Let me give you some examples from his holy life. How
a special relationship, this affinity, this connection with the only beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that made him so powerful in the eyes of Allah. When his son, Sayyid Mustafa, rahmatullahi alayhi, was assassinated, when he heard the news, people expected him to close and not to teach in the Hawza for a number of days. He said, no. وَهَبَنَا اللَّهُ نِعْمَةً وَقَدِ اسْتَرْجَعَهَا الْآنَ. Allah gave us a favor, a blessing in the shape of Sayyid Mustafa, and now he's taking him away. He's taking him back. It didn't affect him, yet something else affected him. One day one of his students, I think it was Shaheed Mutahhar, he said that he didn't come unusually to his class in the Hawza. Imam al-Khumayni doesn't miss his classes, yet he didn't turn up for 3 days. They went and they saw him sweating. He was feverish. He was ill. They said to him, Sayyiduna, what has happened? Are you ill? He turned towards them and said, I was sitting with a group of people and one individual had the audacity to speak ill of another individual who happens to be a scholar. I cannot fathom to be in a gathering where backbiting take place. The effect of backbiting was so profound that it affected his physical health. This was Imam al-Khumayni. And if you look at many other examples in history, this idea manifests itself. When he was sitting on the plane coming back from France in order to declare to the world this great revolution, the New York Times reporter was sitting next to him. Some of you may have seen this clip. He asked the Imam, he said, Sayyid al-Khumayni, what is your feeling now? Can you describe your emotions? How are you going through now? What would you say? The Imam didn't even raise his eyes. He has his eyes down. And he said one word that shall remain forever. The sign of his complete tabattul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know what he said? Do you know what his emotion was? He said, hich, nothing. Allahu Akbar. Imam al-Khumayni, the greatest revolution, one of the greatest in the history of the world, and he's asked to explain and to display his emotion, what he thinks, and he said nothing. Why? Why did he say nothing? Today in the West, they may say, he may not have any emotions. He's not displaying what any other human beings would do wrong. Imam al-Khumayni saw power as a means, not the goal. Because for him, the pleasure of Allah, liqa'ullah, is the most important. That for him was the ultimate joy. Everything else was the path towards that. Therefore, he said nothing. What I feel now is not any different to any other times. And when you examine his relationship with Allah, you'll find that his son, Sayyid Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhi, says that he was da'im al-dhikr. He was in constant remembrance and the utterance of the name of Allah all the time, to the extent that if he was to go somewhere, he would knock on the door, and then he would say, Bismillah, can I come in? You and I knock on the door and say, can we come in? The Imam would say, Bismillah. And when he's sitting in the room and somebody knocks on the door, he would say, Bismillah. He wouldn't say, come in. So his son asks him, my dear father, why do you say Bismillah all the time? Why didn't you just say, come in, or can I come in? He turned towards him and said, my dear son, at least on this small act, I am getting some reward and I am cleansing my mouth and my tongue with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent that his son says in the month of Ramadan, he would finish the recitation of the Quran. How many times? Every 3 days he would recite the entire Quran. By the end of the month of Ramadan, he'd finish the recitation of the book of Allah 10 times. 10 times. He was da'im al-dhikr. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not just only on his tongues. It was manifested in his actions. Everything that he did, spoke about his devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the most outstanding features in the spiritual life of the late Imam rahmatullahi alayhi is his attachment to Salatul Layl, Namaz Tahajjud. You have all heard about how he paid special attention to Salatul Layl. The historians or people who are with him, what do they say? They say that when he was traveling from Qom towards Tehran, when he had what? He had some heart problems. People who were with him said that he was lying in the bed. He couldn't stand, yet he was reciting Salatul Layl at that difficult time. Shaheed al-Mutahhari says, in Hawza in Qom, when it was freezing cold in the city of Qom, he would wake up in the middle of the night, go out, there is no water. What does he do? He takes a piece of ice and he breaks it in order to get some water, in order for him to perform the wudu, to pray to Allah in the middle of the night. In that same plane that was traveling towards Iran from France, he asked, is it the time for Salatul Layl? They said, yes. He stood up, and when he was praying, he would weep. He would cry profusely to the amazement of the stewardess. Those people, the air stewardess, they were standing there, they were looking at him, and he was crying and weeping and weeping. And then they turned around and said, is Mr. Khomeini okay? Why is he crying so much? Is he all right? They said to them, don't worry. This is a habit of his. This is his special munajat with his only beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he was there in France, in front of 15 television stations, they were all asking him, he asks his son Sayyid Ahmed, is it the time for salah? They say yes. Immediately he cuts the interview. He says, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And he leaves. The whole world is looking. But for him, who cares? It is Allah that he has to meet. It is Allah that he has a fixed appointment with. And this is what made him, what elevated him. It is because he placed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before everything. His relationship with the Almighty was profound. How was it characterized? It was characterized through many of his works. Through the book Asrar al-Salah, or The Prayers of the Arifin, that he first wrote. Then when he rewrote the book as The Disciplines of Prayer, or Adab al-Salah, he said it was too difficult for people to fathom or to understand. He made it a bit more easy. What does he say in this book? He says that one of the most important thing that you and I need to be focusing towards and paying our attention when it comes to Allah is the aspect of love. Al-ishq. And Allahu Akbar, Imam al-Khumayni was a brilliant embodiment of al-ishq al-ilahi. Read his books and you see that when he talks about love, what does he say? He says, as far as love is concerned, just look at yourselves. Examine your body. He says, examine your body, and Allah has given you two important characteristics. The physical and the internal. He says, look at your physical body, the hands, the eyes, the ears. Everything has a usage. The hands is used for many functions of our day-to-day life. The feet also. Every part of our physical body has a purpose, right? You don't use your hands to walk on. You don't use your feet to eat. Everything has a set purpose. Your emotions, your power inside has a special purpose. In a very famous statement, what does he say? He says, عشق فعلي بدون معشوق فعلي محال است. That as far as love, which is real, that as far as love that you and I are seeking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it needs to be real love. True love, the essence of love. Why? Allah has given you this power of love. You need to be seeking the only beloved, the true love, and that is Allah. Why? Because Allah is the absolute perfect being. Allah is beauty. Allah is al-kamalul mutlaq. And he says, look for Allah for true love. He says, if you're looking for true love, there must be a true beloved. There cannot be true love, which is the purpose of our emotion state. We don't exist without finding the purpose of the fact that Allah has given us the power of love. He says, if you want to love, love Allah because He is the only love, the true, the only beloved. Question, some people may say, how do I know if I love Allah? How can I characterize? What kind of symptoms do I have to show to demonstrate that I love the Almighty? You look at the book, the amazing book, Al-Arba'una Hadith, the 40 Hadith, that was compiled by Imam Al-Khumayni Rahmatullahi Alayh, a book that has to be read by every individual, a Muslim and a non-Muslim. The book that elevates you and transcends you to levels way before, way above this existence. What does he say? He says, let me ask you this question. Imam Al-Khumayni says, let me ask you this question. If today Rasulullah would come back and say, Ya mahshar al-Muslimin, O Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, do whatever you want to do. Don't pray, don't fast, don't go to Hajj, and sin as much as you want to do, and I have given you paradise. In other words, there is no accountability. There is no salah, there is no psalm, there is no legal obligation as far as the religion of Islam is concerned. Jannah is for everybody, Imam says in his book. If the Holy Prophet would come and say this, he asks this very important question. He says, how many of us would still pray to Allah? How many of us would still stand in the middle of the night remembering Allah? How many of us would go to Hajj? How many of us would endure the suffering and pain of fasting? Question yourself. Ask yourself this very important question. Then the Imam comes to the conclusion and says, very few people would still pray to Allah, will still become obedient to the Almighty, because we're all greedy. We're all looking for paradise. He says, no, look for Allah and you will find complete bliss, satisfaction and happiness in your heart. And this love, this ishq that he displayed towards the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala made him so humble towards human beings. So much down to earth. He looked at everybody in the same light. At the first few days after he came and the Islamic revolution and the Islamic government was formed, they came to him and said, oh Imam, there are people who are coming, they're knocking on the office and they're saying, we want Imam Al-Khumayni to sodomize our marriage. We want to be blessed by this individual. He says, no problem. Bring him. 10 to 15 people on a daily basis, they would come to his residence and he would bless their marriage. His daughter says that one day, in the middle of the night, he wakes up. He goes to the bathroom, but he stays there for a long time. He was 79 years old, the leader of the Islamic revolution. But he took too long. We were afraid. He had heart problems. We came and said, oh, father, are you okay? He said, don't worry, I'm fine. When he left, we found that he had taken time to clean the bathroom. He had taken time to even to do that act, which many of us might seem inappropriate for an individual of his stature. This is how he would look at human beings with complete humbleness and humility. He would say, I want to kiss the hands of the soldiers who are on the battlefronts. Why? Because Allah and the Malaika are with them. And when that individual, that young child that stood in front of the tank of the enemy and he resiliently stood there until the tank run him over, Imam came on the television and said, we are all soldiers of this young boy. Imam Al-Khumayni was humble. He had the complete tawadu towards Allah and towards his community because of his deep love to Allah. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when we look at our lives and we examine that there are some individuals who are blessed, that their names contain the name of Allah. And this was the practice of the unjust rulers of the Abbasids. They would try to have their name containing the name of Allah. So they would say, Al-Mutawakkil Billah, Al-Mu'tamid Billah. One of our teachers said, maybe some of them were named Na'udhu Billah. You know, this is the idea that they wanted somehow to attribute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glorious name in their name. Yet they failed. However, The Urafa say that the true Arif is one who sees everything as Allah. That every time he looks at this world, he says, this is Ardullah al-Wasi'ah. You know? Just like how these people, they come forward and they talk about these two individuals who were lovers of each other. As you have heard, Qais and Layli. They were both lovers of each other, right? But one of them was called Majnoon. Why was he called Majnoon? Crazy. Because everything that he saw, he would name after his beloved, Layli. This is the cup of Layli. This is the carpet of Layli. This is the wall of Layli. That an individual who is so deeply in love with Allah, he would have the name of Allah with everything. And Ruhullah was Ashiqullah. And his name, he lived up to it. His name, he rose up to it. He demonstrated and exemplified exactly how an individual who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best. And this is why Allah raised him in the eyes of mankind. This is why Allah raised the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Ma'sumeen, that they are loved, that they are respected and revered by millions across the world. Why? Because the Holy Prophet of Islam says, "Man tawadha'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah." That if you and I are seeking this world, and believe you me, the Holy Imam, and all the greats we're not seeking, then Allah says, become humble, and I will raise you. Leave everything towards me, and I will do the rest. And the victory of Allah is given to those who give everything to Allah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلْيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ. Whomsoever grants victory and stands by the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will guide him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Who would give victory to the cause of Allah? الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. It is these four important characteristics upholding prayer. Imam would emphasize time and time again about prayer, about salah, and ensuring that the community is of the best in terms of the charity, in terms of the wealth distribution, as well as enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Allah says, whomsoever qualifies, just like how Sayyid al-Shuhada, the martyr of Karbala, in Ziyara we recite, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرْتَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَيْتَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And an Imam al-Khumayni, brothers and sisters, had deep love for Ahlul Bayt. He would recite, his son Sayyid Ahmed says, he would recite Mafatih al-Jinan from back to cover. And when he would come to complete to recite the ziyarah of the imams, he would perform ghusl before every ziyarah that he would recite. When they told him, "Oh Imam, if you cry in front of the world media, it's as if you are weak. So try not to cry in front of everyone." He looked at them and said, "Do you know who I am crying for? I am crying for Fatima. I am crying for Hussein. It doesn't matter what the whole world thinks. I am crying for these luminous individuals, these great personalities." And of course, his favorite, most important recitation, his dua, his munajat, that today he wishes every single individual, every one of us to recite, to understand, is the famous munajat al-Sha'baniya. You look at his book, Adab al-Salat, the first thing that he begins with is Munajat al-Sha'baniya. And the last thing is Munajat al-Sha'baniya. Why? Ilahi, habli kamal al-inqita'i ilayk. This is what he wanted. Oh Allah, give me the complete detachment from the world and the strength of attachment to you. Kamal al-inqita'i ilayk. So that why? So that our spirits, so that every curtain is removed and we become illuminated with your light next to your famous throne. This was Ruhullah al-Musawi al-Khumayni. And today, when we mourn his wafat, today when we remember his spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we revere this individual and we send our salutations towards him as he is now with the awliya and as-siddiqeen wash-shuhada. As-salamu alayka sayyidi wa mawlai ya ruh Allah. As-salamu alayka yawma walidta wa yawma rufi'ta ila al-mala' al-a'la wa yawma tub'athu hayya. As-salamu alayka wa anta ma'al anbiya'i was-siddiqeen wash-shuhada'i was-salihin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.